Pesachim Daf Ayin. We are starting on the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Beis. This is going to be the second Mishnah here in the sixth parak of Pesachim. The connection between this Mishnah and the next Mishnah we are going to detail in the beginning of the Gemara. Before we start with the Mishnah, just a word of introduction. It has been a couple of thousand of years since the last opportunity we had to do the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, go to Yerushalayim when there was the Beis Hamikdash. So let's just do a quick refresher. When going to the Beis Hamikdash every Yontif, so there are three karbanos that a person is chayev to bring. One is the Olas Re'iyah. When going to the Beis Hamikdash, you bring a standard karban Ola in honor of Yontif. The Pasuk says, lo yiru panai reikam, you're not allowed to see me empty-handed, and so therefore, number one, we bring a karban Ola. It's called the Olas Re'iyah, the Ola for having been seen in the Beis Hamikdash on Yontif. Number two, Shamei Chagiga, a special karban, Shlamim, that is brought for the sake of the Yantiv. And three, Shamei Simcha. Shamei Simcha is brought to fulfill the mitzvah of V'samachta B'chagecha, to rejoice on Yantiv. These three karbanos that are outlined are to be brought on Yantiv itself. They only need to be brought on one occasion on Yantiv. It is best to be bringing it on the first day of the Yantiv. And in the course of today's daf, a little bit, we're going to touch on what happens when the Yantiv coincides with Shabbos and whether or not the Shamei Chagiga, the Olas Re'iyah, are going to be Doche Shabbos. We're going to be discussing it more extensively in the Gemara in Beitza. Okay, that is the three karbanos that is obligated by every individual as they fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. In addition to that, on Pesach, there's another karban that's brought. In addition to the karban Pesach, in addition to the three karbanos that we just outlined, there's another karban that needs to be brought, and that is on the 14th day of Nisan. 14th day of Nisan is not Yantiv. 15th day of Nisan is Yantiv. 14th day of Nisan is Erev Yantiv. Now, because the karban Pesach is brought on the 14th, as we've been discussing now for a good part of this Masechta, so it has a quasi-Yantiv feel to it, but nevertheless, it itself is not viewed as a Yantiv. It is not a Yantiv. And yet, because of the carbon Pesach that's brought on the 14th, so there's another carbon that's brought in conjunction with it, it is a Shlamim. The Gemara describes it as a Chagiga, but in order to differentiate between this carbon, which is not the classic Chagiga, it is not the standard Chagiga, which is brought on Yantiv itself, so this Chagiga is going to be described as Chagiga Yudalet. The Chagiga that's brought specifically on the 14th day as supplement for the Karban Pesach. Why the Chagiga Yudalet is brought on the 14th? Where do we find a source for that? So that is going to be discussed in the course of today's daf. Let's begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is going to be describing Chagiga Yudalet. Amos I may be Chagiga Imo. When do I bring a Chagiga together with it, meaning with the Karban Pesach? So Bizman Shehu Ba Bechol. So that means to say when the 14th coincides with a weekday, B'Tahara, and the Jewish people bring the Karban Pesach in a state of Tahara, Uve Muat, and we're talking about where each one of the members of the Chabur are only receiving a small portion of the Karban Pesach. They're only getting a small amount of meat of the Karban Pesach, and therefore to supplement their diet, they're going to also be eating together with that some of the meat of the Chagigas Yudalet. Uvizman Shehu Baba Shabbos, however, if the 14th day falls out on a Shabbos, Bimaruba, or if everyone in the Chabur is receiving a large portion of the Karban Pesach, Uvetumah, or if the Jewish people are bringing Pesach in a state of Tumah, meaning the majority of the Jewish people are Tumah, and therefore Karban Pesach is brought Betumah, in Mevin Imo Chagiga. So the Chagiga Sidal does not come along on that particular Pesach. Chagiga Haisaba Minatzona Minabakar, in terms of which animals are eligible to be brought as Chagiga Yudalet, it can come either from sheep or from cattle, Minakvasim Minayzim, from either sheep or goat, Minazachar Minakevos, either from male or female, Venachal Nishne Yamin Velaila Echad, it can be eaten for 2 days and one night, the night in between. Basically, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, the Chagiga Yudalet is a Shlamim. For all intents and purposes, it's going to behave exactly like a Shlamim behaves. And as a result of that, it could be brought from any animal in which you could bring a shlamim. Now, unlike the Karban Pesach are very regulated in terms of what animals are eligible to be brought as a Karban Pesach. It can only be either sheep or goat. It can only be male. It can only be within the first year of its life. Unlike a Karban Shlamim, which is much more expansive. So the Mishnah here is of the position that the Chagiga Yudal can be brought from anything which would qualify as a Karban Shlamim. Obviously, much more to discuss regarding the Chagiga Yudalet. Let's begin with the Gemara. Maitana Diktani Chagiga. So the obvious question over here is, what is our Mishnah doing here in the sixth parak of Pesachim? So Tana Har Kavto Vavaso. So the Gemara gives an answer, and that is, take a look at the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah will be here, going all the way back to Samachem Rebeis. So, as we discussed already now for 4 days, since the beginning of the Perek, Samach Vav is Samach Zayin, Samach Ches and Samach Tes, so we've been detailing the halachas of the Garam Pesach overriding Shabbos. And the Gemara now points out, Tana Arkavto Vavaso Delo Dachi Shabbos, although the shechting of the Karban Pesach and other activities of the Karban Pesach are going to override Shabbos, there are many activities that do not override Shabbos, notably carrying the animal in to the base of Mikdash from, through a Rishos Rabim, also bringing it from outside of Tchum, also the Hazah, which was a major discussion that we've had for the last couple of days. So these are activities that are not going to override Shabbos. V'ketani na michagiga dolo dachi Shabbos. And now our Mishnah over here says, not only is that not going to override Shabbos, let me give you other things that also are not going to override Shabbos, notably chagigas yedalid, v'hachi kamar. And now the correct way to understand our Mishnah is, emasai mevini mo chagiga. When do I bring the chagigas yedalid in conjunction with the Karban Pesach? Bizman shu ba b'chol, that's when it's during a weekday, but tahara v'muat. And the Jewish people are bringing Karban Pesach in a state of tahara, and everyone's only receiving a small portion. Other than that, otherwise, you bring the, if you do not have these three criteria, so then you don't bring the chagigas yedalid. Am Ravashi shmamina chagigas arbasar lav chovehi. So the Gemara therefore arrives at the following conclusion: if we have clearly indicated that there are a number of occasions where you do not bring the chagigas yedalid, unless you have a scenario, a situation where you do not have all three criteria which we just outlined, where the 14th day is during a week. During a weekday, and the Jewish people are in a state of tahara, and each one of the members of the chabur only receiving a small amount. If you don't have all three, you're not going to be bringing the chagigas yedalid, which means that the chagigas yedalid is going to be passed by on a number of occasions. So the Ravashi says we can arrive at the following conclusion: Shma mina chagigas arbaasar lav chovehi. It is not an obligation. The isak adach chovehi, because if it were an obligation, tesi b'shabbos v'tesi b'meruba v'tesi b'toma uvemuat. So you would be bringing it under all circumstances. Every circumstance, you bring the Karban Pesach, you bring the Chagigas Yedalit. You would bring it if the 14th coincided with Shabbos. You would bring it even if everyone's receiving a large piece of Karban Pesach. You would bring it even if everyone was Tameh. And you would bring it, and you would bring it under all those circumstances. So, Uvemuat mi umay tama asya. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, so then why is it that when everyone's receiving a small portion of the Karban Pesach, why do we have the Chagigas Yedalid? In other words, at this point in time, the Gemara now is asking a really simple, basic question. And that is that there seems to be no instruction in the Torah itself of bringing the Chagigas Yedalid, and we've just concluded that it is not obligatory, as there are a number of times that it's not going to be brought. So then the question begs, so why then, under certain circumstances, is the Chagigas Yedalid brought? And here we get to the crux of the entire Gemara. My Tama Asya, why is it brought? Kedetanya, we learned in the following brisa. Chagiga haba ima Pesach, nechelas tchila, kedei shei Pesach, nechel ala sova. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says that the Chagigas Yedalid, right? I'm adding the word Yedal, but obviously. The Chagiga Yedalid, meaning that which comes together in conjunction with the Karban Pesach, is going to be eaten first, meaning as you sit down at the Seder and eat the karbanos, you're first going to be eating the meat of the chagigas yedal, followed then by the Karban Pesach. Why? So that the Karban Pesach is necha al hasova. So the Karban Pesach will be eaten while you are not famished, while you're not starving, but you are somewhat full, and the Karban Pesach now can be eaten in a regal manner. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi, top Rashi on the Amud, al hasova shiunenin ba'achilaso v'techashev lahem. So Rashi says that at this point in time now, that when you're eating your Karban Pesach, you're not famished, you're not starving, you have already a certain amount of meat in your system, in your stomach, and so therefore you're going to be eating it, says Rashi, in an enjoyable fashion, and techashev lahem, it'll give more chashivas to eating of the Karban Pesach. So from Rashi, what it sounds like is that the goal and the point over here of Chagigas Yedalid is that in the event that if you were to eat the Karban Pesach on an empty stomach, so you would not be enjoying eating it, you would just simply be eating it because you're starving. And it's just simply not a honorific way of eating the Karban Pesach. Therefore, Rashi says, the Chagigas Yedal is there to create a scenario in which you are now not hungry, not starving. Obviously, you're not going to fill yourself up on the Chagigas Yedal, because then that would mean that the eating of the Karban Pesach would be done in a state of achila gasa, and we don't want that as well. So let's say that the tank, I'm just throwing out numbers, let's say the tank now is three quarters full in terms of having filled yourself up with the chagigas yidalad, and then you eat the Karban Pesach, and now it's going to be eaten, says Rashi, in a manner which is chashav. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara's requirement over here of the chagigas yidalad. It's not an absolute obligation, but what it does is it enhances the eating of the Karban Pesach. That's Rashi. Take a look at Tosus over here. Tosus cites another explanation, another reason why it is so critical to have the chagigas yidalad. And Tosus quotes the Riva. The Omer Riva, Tosus, top Tosus on the Amud, four lines down, as the lines start narrowing. So this idea, says Tosos, is a din derabanan, meaning the chagigas yedalid is a total rabbinic invention. In terms of, there is no requirement min ha-Torah to eat the chagigas yedalid, to have the chagigas yedalid. Now this is an idea of Tosos, that this is a din derabanan. Rashi does not weigh in. And in terms of whether it's deraisa derabanan, stay tuned, because over the course of the daf, we will become sensitized to the fact that the Gemara is going to be giving another number of drushas towards the chagigas yedalid. But as I'll point out later on, so that doesn't necessarily negate the point that Tosos is making over here. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. Tosos writes over here, ha-pesach nechal asova hainu midrabanan, gzera mishum shviras etzem. So Tosos over here says that the chagigas yedalid is to facilitate the following. We know that regarding the Karban Pesach, we have a unique halacha that applies to the Karban Pesach and only Karban Pesach alone and no other karbanos. And that is, one is not allowed to break the bones. The Torah says, etzem lo sish burubo, one is not allowed to break the bones of the Karban Pesach. And therefore, when eating the Karban Pesach, one has to work around the bones, but in no way is somebody allowed to break the bones of the Karban Pesach. If one does so, one is violating a lav in the Torah. And therefore, the concern is, says Tosos, that if all we have, the only meat we have at the Seder night is only going to be the Karban Pesach, it's simply not going to be sufficient. People are going to want more meat. And then, in the excitement of eating the Karban Pesach, one may have forgotten now that there's an Isser of not breaking the bones. It doesn't apply to any other Karban. And so therefore, what one may be tempted to do is break the bones of the Karban Pesach in order to get the meat inside the bones, the marrow inside the bones. And so therefore, the way what the Chagiga Yudal is going to do is that it's going to increase the amount of meat that's going to be consumed that evening, so that when you finally get to the Karban Pesach, you're not going to be tempted to want to have to break open the bones and violate the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. Tosus writes, She'im lo ha'isa ba'ala sova mitoch shu ra'ev la'achol ha'basar she'saviv ha'atamos hayaba lidei shvira san. Good. So that is another explanation according to Tosos. You can go on in Tosos over there. The Ri is not excited by this pshat. But anyway, we have two pshatim in front of us in terms of what exactly is the purpose of Chagigas Yedalad. So the Gemara made two comments regarding Chagigas Yedalad. Number one, it's not an obligation. That was Rav Ashi's conclusion based on the fact that there are going to be a number of circumstances where we don't bring the Chagigas Yedalad. The Gemara says, okay, so if it's not an obligation, so why does it come at all under any circumstance? So the answer is that if there isn't enough Karban Pesach to go around, so therefore what this is going to do, says the Gemara, is supplement, and so that we're going to be able to aid it al hasova, so that we'll be mostly full by the time we get to the Karban Pesach. And therefore, what? So now we have offered two explanations, one by Rashi and the other by the Riva in Tosfos. Rashi says that it makes the Achila a more chashav Achila. According to Tosfos, it is exera derabanan, so that one would not violate the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. We continue in the Gemara v'Nechalas L'Shnei Yamim. Now, as far as the Chagigas Yedalad, the Mishnah tells us that it's going to be eaten for 2 days and the night in between. Otherwise stated, it's going to be treated like a regular shlamim. Masisin Deloka Ben Tema. And now the Gemara here introduces us to the opinion of Ben Tema. A good part of the daf today is going to spend time exploring, analyzing the Shita of Ben Tema. Ben Tema, as is, will become evident and clear, is not going to be the author of our Mishnah. In fact, he has a divergent viewpoint. Ben Tema Omer, Chagiga haba ima pesach hareu kepesach veina nechalas ela leyom v'layla, that the Chagigas Yedalad that comes together with the Karban Pesach is only eaten leyom v'layla, the day and the night, meaning just like the Karban Pesach is only going to be eaten. Now over here, the Gemara's language seems to be slightly imprecise, because we know that the Karban Pesach itself is only eaten the night. And as we'll learn later in the Masechta, there's a machlokus whether you have the whole night or just half the night. But the Karban Pesach itself can only be eaten in the night. According to Ben Tema, same thing is going to be true regarding the Chagigas Yedalad. It can only be eaten. Now, he says day and night. Again, it could be that he just simply means day is when you're going to be shechting it and night is when you're going to be eating it. There's other ways to explain it, but Anyway, the point is that it's not a regular shlamim, and you're not given the normal 2-day allowance that a shlamim is given. Meaning that by dawn, this chagigas yedalin has now reached its point of expiration. You cannot eat anymore, just like the Karm Pesach. Now the chagiga of the 15th, now that's the standard chagiga, meaning as we spoke out in the introduction of the daf, that's the chagiga that comes on every yontif. So that is a regular shlamim, and for that you do have the 2 days with the night in between. Now, last point of this braisa is, let's say you have the chagigas yedalin, and for whatever reason you didn't offer it on the 14th. Rashi's explanation over here is, you're a ma'akev, for whatever reason. The chagigas yedal was not offered on the 14th, and now you want to bring on the 15th. So as we pointed out in our introduction, there are two karbonos that one is required to bring on Yontif itself. One, well, there are three in total, but in terms of shlamim, there are two shlamims that one has to bring on Yontif. One is shami chagiga, the other is shami simcha. Well, the point the Gemara is making over here is that if, let's say, you took your chagigas yedal and you pushed it off to the 15th for whatever reason, so can you now use it as your shami chagiga? The answer is unequivocally no. Can you use it for shami simcha? The answer is unequivocally yes. What's the difference between the two? So Rashi over here spends a good amount of time explaining, and if I may just summarize Rashi's points over here. Rashi says you can't use it for Shami Chagiga because Shami Chagiga is an obligation, and what you cannot do is you cannot take a carbon that you already set aside and use it for an obligation. All obligations have to come from Chulin. Called Davar Shebechova, Rashi quotes the Gemara that we're going to see later in our Masechta. Called Davar Shebechova, Enoba Elamin Chulin. Something which is obligatory can only come from Chulin, and if you're already makdish it as a karban, you cannot use it now as your Shami Chagiga. On the other hand, Rashi goes on to explain, but I can use it for Shami Simcha. Why? Because Shami Simcha, the mitzvah is not offering the karban. The mitzvah of Shami Simcha is to enjoy the meat of a karban, to eat the meat of the karban. So over here, if I take my Chagigas Yidalin for whatever reason, get pushed off to the 15th, and now I'm offering it on the 15th, so now it is a shlamim. I can't use it to satisfy my obligation of Shami Chagiga because that already is its own separate obligation, but I can use it for Shami Simcha because the mitzvah Shami Simcha is not the offering of the karban, but rather just simply the eating the meat of the karban. And that's why it can't serve as a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Shami Simcha. My time at the Bentema, the Gemara, after having cornered the Braisa, the Gemara wants to now understand what's the basis, what's the reason behind the Shita Bentema that the eating of the Chagigas Yedal is going to go in line with the eating of the Karban Pesach, in that by the morning both have expired. So the Gemara says, "Kedemasi Rav Lechia Berei." So Rav taught the following Braisa to his son Chia, who he, parenthetically, he obviously named after his uncle, Rabbi Chia. The pasuk says, "V'lo yelin labok zevach chag haPesach." So you're not allowed to leave over into the morning zevach chag haPesach. Pshat of the pasuk is that just talking about the Karban Pesach. But now, according to the Braisa, this is how we're going to understand it: zevach chag zechagiga haPesach kemashmao. So now, in the pasuk, we're darshing that the word zevach chag is a reference to the Karban Chagiga. Obviously, over here, a reference to the Chagigas Yedalin. And carbon and the word Pesach obviously is a reference to the carbon Pesach, and Va'amar Rechman Lo Yalin, and on both of these the Torah says you're not allowed to leave it over until the morning, meaning they both have to be concluded by the morning. So here we have a drasha. Now, as I pointed out, there are going to be a couple of drashas that we're going to find that are darshaning Chagigas Yedalit. Now that seems to go against what Tosus said. Tosus says that the Chagigas Yedalit is a rabbinic invention; it's a rabbinic innovation. And meanwhile, the Gemara over here has a drasha. But again, as you see in the context of the Gemara over here, this is according to the Shita of Bentema, meaning it could be, and I'm just suggesting this, I'm not saying that this is correct, but it could be that according to Bentema, the Chagigas Yadal is a Din D'Oraisa, and according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, it's not a Din D'Oraisa, right? And therefore, it's not an obligation, as the Gemara itself pointed out. That could be the way that it sets up, but the context over here is that clearly this Braisa is working within the Shita of Bentema. Ibailahu, the Gemara now has a lot of follow-up questions of Bentema. And basically, in a nutshell, what we're going to be analyzing, what the Gemara is going to be probing, is that within the Shita Bentema, where the Chagigas Yedal is going to be following some of the rules of the Karban Pesach, basically the question is, how many of the rules of the Karban Pesach is the Chagigas Yedal going to follow? Meaning, according to Bentema, in terms of expiration, so they mimic one another. Or, better stated, the Chagigas Yedal is going to be mimicking the Karban Pesach. What about other things that are unique to Karban Pesach? Is Chagigas Yadal going to mimic those halachas as well? Those are basically going to be the upcoming Gemara, and the Gemara is going to be spending some time with this topic. Ibailu leben tema ne'echel tzli, o ein ne'echelas tzli. Do I have to roast my Chagigas Yadal? By the Karban Pesach, the Torah says unequivocally, it must be roasted. In fact, cooking it is going to disqualify it, and partially roasting it is going to disqualify it. So we know it must be roasted. This is the same thing true by the Chagigas Yadal. Ki akshe rechman le Pesach lelina. Now there is a hekish that we just learned together. This was the brisa that Rav taught his son Rebbe Chia in explanation of the Shita of Ben Tema. So we know that the hekish is for lina. Maybe the hekish is only for lina, but not for roasting. Maybe no. Maybe the hekish is going to be true not only in terms of the expiration, but also in terms of how it's prepared. Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at the following Mishnah. A Mishnah that we're all familiar with, although, quite frankly, we may have forgotten this one line of the Mishnah. Halayla azeh kulosli. The Mishnah later on in the 10th paragraph is going to go over the Manishana. Of the four questions, one of them is going to be, how come on all other nights we eat our meat both roasted and or cooked? And meanwhile, tonight, it's all going to be roasted. Now, if you recall back to your last Seder, you're probably not going to remember this one of the Manishanas because this was taken out. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have the Karban Pesach. So to us, the question just simply doesn't speak to us, unfortunately. So this one's taken out and it was replaced. But meanwhile, in the Mishnah has this as one of the four questions. The Amr of Chisazu Divrei Ben Tema. Now, interestingly enough, the Nusach of the Mishnah is conforming to the Shita of Ben Tema. So says Rav Chista. Why? Because it says, Halayla Hazeh Kulo Tzli. Every meat that we eat tonight is going to be roasted. Now, what does it mean, every meat? So if we're just a Karban Pesach, so then it's obvious. But we know that at the Seder night, there's not only going to be Karban Pesach, as we just learned in the Mishnah, there are going to be two Karbanos that are going to be in front of us. One is the Karban Pesach, and the other one is Chagigas Yadalid. Now, in order to make sense of the Mishnah, where it says Kulo Tzli, it must mean that both are roasted, both the Karban Pesach and Chagigas Yadalid are roasted. Shma Mina. So the Gemara says, so good. So we can safely conclude from here that according to Ben Tema, both the Karban Pesach and the Chagigas Yadal have to be roasted. And so there's another halacha where Chagigas Yadal is going to be mimicking the halachas of Karban Pesach. Ibai Lahu, the Gemara continues probing, Le Ben Tema, according to the opinion of Ben Tema. Ba min abakar, o eino ba min abakar. So we know that Karban Pesach can only come from small livestock, meaning either sheep or goat. Karban Pesach cannot come from large livestock. Is the same thing going to be true regarding the Chagigas Yadalid? Bama Nakeva, Oena Bama Nakeva. Can it come from female? We know the Karban Pesach can only come from male. So the Chagigas Yadalid, can that also only come from male? Or can it come from female as well? Ba bashtayim shanim o eno ba bashtei shanim. We know the Karban Pesach has to be within the first year. A regular shlamim does not. Our Chagigas Yadalid, does it need to be within its first year, just like the Karban Pesach? And the Gemara just summarizes, Ki akshav rechman le Pesach lemida da'achila. When there's a hekesh between the Chagigas Yadalid and the Karban Pesach, again, all this is according to Ben Tema. When there's a hekesh between them, so that is that only regarding the halachas that revolve consumption, like the expiration, like the manner in which it's prepared. But maybe not in terms of all other halachas, Odilma, Loshnar, maybe it makes no difference. Maybe the connection between Karban Pesach and Chagigas Yadalid is such a thorough connection, such a thorough hekesh, that literally all the halachas that apply to Karban Pesach, all the unique halachas, would also apply to Chagigas Yadalid as well. Tashma, the Gemara brings down a brisa, Chagigas Haba Ima Pesach. Clearly the brisa over here is talking about Chagigas Yadalid. Hareu Ka Pesach. It's going to be like the Karban Pesach. Ba min atzon ve'eno ba min abakar. Only from small livestock, not large. Ba min azacharim ve'eno ba min anekevos. Only male, not female. Ba bash nasa ve'eno ba bas shtei shanim. Has to be within the first year, not a two-year-old. Ve'eno ne'achalas el yom v'layla. Can only be eaten for the day shechted and the following night. Ve'eno ne'achalas el tzli. Can only be eaten roasted. Ve'eno ne'achalas el limnuyav. Can only be eaten for people who are registered over the Karban Pesach. And so now, this brisa could not say it any clearer. The Gemara just simply wraps it up. Man shamas leidias lehai svar ben tema. The one who subscribes to this idea is clearly ben tema. Shma mina kula milsa bi'inan shma mina. So the Gemara says, so after having learned this brisa, now our suspicions are in fact confirmed that according to ben tema, all the unique features that are true by Karban Pesach are also going to be true by the Chagigas Yidal. So, one more follow-up question of the Gemara regarding the Chagigas Yidal and having the same basic guidelines as, or not guidelines, but halachas as the Karban Pesach, and that is the breaking of the bone. We know that the breaking of the bone is an issur that is specific to the Karban Pesach. Is it also going to apply to the Chagigas Yidalet? Now, how could you argue otherwise? So the Gemara tells us how you could argue otherwise. Because up until now, it sounds like whatever's true by Karban Pesach is also going to be true Chagigas Yidalet, and why would Shvir Setzen be an exception? But as the Gemara just got done outlining, it could very well be that we know when the Pasuk tells us about the issur of breaking the bone, the Torah says, Etzem lo sishvru bo. Now the word bo is a miyut. And maybe what the Torah is coming to exclude is that there is no Isser of Shvir Sesem as it applies to Chagigas Yidalet, meaning all other halachas apply to Chagigas Yidalet, but not to Shvir Sesem. So once again, by the way, as I pointed out, so there's going to be a number of occasions where the Gemara is going to have drushas that speak about the Chagigas Yidalet. And again, Tosfos says it's a din derabanan. But again, I'll just reiterate that all these drushas are obviously working within the sheet of Ben Tema. And what you'll have to say then is that within these drushas that the Gemara are proposing, they're proposing it only within the sheet of Ben Tema, and perhaps the Chachamim just simply don't subscribe to these drushas. Again, all that is certainly possible. So that's one way to look at it. Or Dilma, the Gemara says, "Hi, bo bekashiv lo bepasal, hu da'asa." Or maybe no. Maybe the word bo over there is in fact a miyut, but the miyut is only to tell me that the iser of esam lo sishbur bo is only for Karban Pesach that are kasher, but a Karban Pesach that's disqualified. So maybe once it's disqualified, there is no longer a lav for the breaking of the bone of such a Karban Pesach that's disqualified, but it has nothing to do with Chagigas Yidalet. Good. So the question on the table now is that according to Ben Tema, the Chagigas Yidalet is it subject to Etzem Lo Sishbru, that you're not allowed to break the bone of the Chagigas Yidalet, much like you're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. So what the Gemara now is going to do is try to prove from a Mishnah in Shkalim as to whether or not this is accurate. Sakan Shanim says, Barabasar, the Mishnah over here in Shkalim in the 8th Perek talks about finding things in Yerushalayim. Here you find a knife, okay? Who did the knife belong to? Well, if we knew the answer, we'd return it to its owner. But anyway, you found a knife in Yerushalayim, and can you assume now that it's Tamei or it's Tahor? Now, the knife is found on the 14th day of Nisan, and so let's assume, Rashi spells this point out, let's assume that it was lost today. Now, I know that is an assumption, and it could be that it was lost 2 days ago, 3 days ago, but it's clear in the Mishnah Shkalim that the assumption is that it was lost on the day that it was found. It could very well be that, and Rashi suggests this, that Yerushalayim is swept every night, and so therefore it is most unlikely that if it was lost the day before, it was not picked up sometime in between yesterday and today. Anyway, we are going to assume, it's clear in the Mishnah, that it was found on the day it was lost. So the knife was therefore lost on the 14th, found on the 14th. Now, can you assume that this knife is going to be tahor? Because as what we want to do now, obviously, is use it. I mean, obviously, if you know who the owner is, you can return it to the owner. In terms of not troubling yourself to find the original owner and making usage of it for yourself, we could argue that it doesn't have a siman on it. Okay, that is more of a Bava Metzia issue. But right now, let's just deal with the Tahara issue, which is clearly what the Mishnah Shkalim wants to focus on. And that is, can I shecht it? Can I assume that's Tahor? So Shachim Ba Miyad. So the Mishnah says, yeah, you can shecht with it immediately. And the assumption is, and Rashi spells this out, but let's say this outside. The assumption is that if you find it on the 14th, that means that the person lost it on the 14th, which means that the person who lost it already prepared it for a karban. Meaning we're assuming that this knife originally belonged to somebody who was going to use it himself for a karban. Now, if it was in fact Tameh, so when would he have toveled it? So the answer is he would have toveled it yesterday on the 13th. Why? Because a knife that's Tameh, in order for it to become Tahor, so it needs to be toveled, and it also needs to be experiencing Harav Shemesh. So that means to say that its original owner, which we assume is somebody who's going to be responsible, and somebody who concerns himself with Tahara, is going to have toveled it yesterday, experienced Harav Shemesh yesterday, and so that by today, it's Tahor Legamre. So when you find this knife, so you could use it, assuming that, in fact, it is a Tahor knife. Now, Bishloshasar. Now, let's say you find them 13th. Now, if you find the 13th, you know, you at this point in time do not have a guarantee that this knife is tahor. Therefore, what are you to do? So, shono matbil. So, you repeat the tefillah. Now, repeat the tefillah. In other words, you don't know if tefillah was done already, but in the event that tefillah was already done, which we don't know, so you're going to do it again anyway, and you're going to tovel it. Good. And now you'll know that tonight, after having experienced Erev Shemesh, the knife is taro legamre. And that means to say that tomorrow you're now allowed to use it. You will be able to use it for a Karban Pesach. Good. Kofetz. Now, the Mishnah in Shkalim goes on to describe, what if you find not a knife, but rather a cleaver? Now, the purpose of the cleaver is to cut the meat after it was shechted. Meaning the sakin is a knife that's going to be used for shechita. The kofetz over here that's being described is not being used for shechita, but rather used for cutting meat and for cutting bone. Bein bezeh, shone umatbil. So the Mishnah Shkalim says that you're going to have to tovel whether you find it on the 13th or whether you find it on the 14th. Why? Because even if you find it on the 14th, the owner did not necessarily tovel it. There's no reason for him to tovel it. Consider what he's going to be using the cleaver for. So for Erev Pesach, there's no need for a cleaver. The only thing you're going to be using the cleaver for is for breaking the bones, and there simply are no bones to break with this cleaver. You simply don't need it for the 14th. If anything, as far as the cleaver is concerned, so maybe you'll need it for Yontif, so fine. So you'll tovel it on the 14th, and then allow it to have a Erev Shemesh so that it will be good for the 15th. But if you find on the 14th, you don't know with any certainty that the owner toveled it on the day prior. Good. And so, that is the Mishnah in Shkalim. Money. So who's the author of this Mishnah? Ilei Merabbanan Mishnah Sakin Dematbil Dechazila Pesach Kufetz Nami Ha Chazila Chagiga. Now, if the author of this Mishnah is the Shita of the Chachamim of our Mishnah, so then whatever's true by a knife is true by a cleaver as well, because you need the knife for the Karban Pesach, you need the cleaver for the Chagiga Sidalid. Remember, according to the Chachamim, the Chagiga Sidalid is just a regular Shlamim. You could certainly break the bones of it. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, the cleaver is just as necessary as the knife is for Shechting. Elalav de Ben Tema. So the author of the Mishnah must be Ben Tema, who? Ushmamina Yeshba Mishum Shvir Sa'etzim. And what comes out over here is as follows. Is that as much as the Shvir Sa'etzim, as the prohibition of cutting bone applies to the Karban Pesach, it also applies to the Chagigas Yidal as well. So this is, after having learned the Mishnah and Shkalim and clearly aligned the Mishnah and Shkalim together with the Shita Ben Tema, it certainly sounds like, according to Ben Tema, there is no cutting of bones, not of the Karban Pesach, nor of the Chagigas Yidalit. So this seems to be the proof the Gemara tries to deflect. Lo la'olam Rabbanan. Could very well be that the author of the Mishnah is really the Chachamim Kagon Shabbat B'Shabbos. So, and the reason why I don't need the cleaver is because we're talking about where Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, really? Bahamadik Tani Seifa. The Gemara says, okay, but just go to the end of the Mishnah Shkalim, because the end of the Mishnah Shkalim says, Chalar Basar Lios B'Shabbos, that if the 14th falls on a Shabbos, Shochei Ba Miyad. So you could shecht with it immediately. Uvechamisha asar. Now, if it occurs on the 15th, meaning if you find it on the 15th, shochei b'miyad, so then you could use it immediately. Meaning, in the, either one of these two situations, one can safely assume that the knife that was discovered, or the cleaver that was discovered, is in fact already toveled. In other words, by virtue of the fact that either it's Shabbos, which means that you can't tovel it on Shabbos, and it must have been toveled before Shabbos, or if it was the 15th, regardless of when the 15th is, which means that they definitely need both a knife and a cleaver for Yontif, so then it was Tovel the day before. And therefore, finding it in these situations, you can assume that the knife and the cleaver are Tahor. And Nim says, Kupa Kshur L'Sakin Harei K'Sakin. And one last halacha in the Mishnah Shkalim is that, let's say, both the knife and the cleaver are connected by a ring, and they're both on the same ring, so we can assume that's because the knife was Tovel, the cleaver was also Tovel as well. So, Michal D'Reish Alav B'Shabbos Askinan. So the Gemara says, okay, so you try to give an ukimta in that first half of the Mishnah that's talking about where the 14th fell out on the Shabbos, and that's why we are going to assume that the cleaver wasn't toveled. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the end of the Mishnah tells us that, gives us a scenario of Shabbos, which means that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about where it wasn't Shabbos. So El Ve'elo Shabbat Ben Merubah. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe I can give you another ukimta, and that is that's Bab Ben Merubah. Where it happens to be that this particular year, everyone's receiving a large portion of Karban Pesach, and as a result of that, so the So there is no need now for the Chagigas Gedalet, as everyone's receiving a large part. Again, what the Gemara is trying to do is say that the Mishnah in Shkalim is going like the Chacham and not like Ben Tema, and we're coming up with various scenarios in terms of why there's no need for the Chagigas Gedalet. Either because it's Shabbos, although Gemara dismissed that idea, second half of the Mishnah is clearly talking about where it's Shabbos, or right now what the Gemara is suggesting is that everyone's receiving a large portion. So the Gemara says, Ve'el Shabbat, and the Gemara says, Mana Yade. The Gemara doesn't like it. The Gemara just simply says, well, how do they know? How are you supposed to know what kind of portions one's receiving? And you don't have this information yet until the Karm Pesach, until you're actually there at Erev Pesach. And so therefore, it's hard to imagine that people can forecast how big a portion they're going to receive. Ve'el Shabbat Betumah. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe the Mishnah Shkalim is talking about a year in which the Karm Pesach is being brought Betumah. And that's why there's no Chagigas Yidal, because according to the Chachamim, Chagigas Yidal is not going to be overriding Tumah. So, sof minayade. So the Gemara says, okay, but how could you forecast that as well? Meaning, we're going to know in anticipation of Pesach that this year Pesach is going to be brought to Tumah. And the Gemara suggests now, yes, there is a way to know. The Mis Nasi. So the Gemara says that we're talking about a case where the Nasi dies. All of Klal Yisrael must be at the funeral. That's how we know that already in advance. That this is going to be a year of Pesach that's coming in a state of Tumah. So Demis Nasi Emas, could we be a little bit more specific? When did the Nasi die? Elam and Demis B'Shosha Asar, did he die on the 13th? So Sakan Lamidli Demit Balei. So the Gemara has a wonderful question. If the Nasi died on the 13th, so that means already at that point in time, we know that's Pesach Haba B'Tumah, we're not going to be toveling even the Sakin. Meaning, the Karm Pesach is going to be brought while the Jewish people are Tamei. There's simply no point in trying to be Matari any Kli. Ve'ala demis ba'arbaso. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Nasi died on the 14th. So Maishna Sakin the Matbil, or Maishna Kupas the Lamatbilah. So the Gemara says, well, if the Nasi died on the 14th, so then I don't understand. So the knife we toveled on the 13th, the cleaver we didn't tovel on the 13th, the Gemara says that, of course, makes no sense. Meaning, again, we're trying to argue that the Mishnah Shkalim is going like the Chachamim. I need a knife. I need a cleaver. Why did I tovel one and not the other? So the Gemara says, okay, Lotricha Danasi go says B'Shoshasar. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to give the following Akimta. And admittedly, this is a stretch of the imagination in terms of the case that the Mishnah in Shkalim is dealing with. But at least the Gemara is stretching imagination. And at least it could be that we have the following scenario. And that is that the Nasi was dying on the 13th. Now, it's at this point in time pretty easy to forecast that the Nasi will in fact die, but we don't know yet for sure. And so therefore, are we going to go through the trouble of toveling? Because it could come out now that we're going to tovel and we're not going to need the tefillah. So sakin dechatz feka matbalei, kupetz treis feka lo matbalei. And so the Gemara says, well, and I'll tell you the difference. When it comes to the knife, we're only dealing with one safek, and that is the Nasi going to die or is he not going to die? If he's going to die, it turns out that the tefillah was in vain. But if he's not going to die, it turns out that we need the tefillah. So for one safek, we're going to go through the trouble. But when it comes to a kupetz, when it comes to the cleaver, so now we're not going to tovel the cleaver, and I'll tell you why. Well, the Gemara describes over here as treis feka, and as Rashi explains, look, first of all, the Nasi may die, and if he dies, we're not going to need the cleaver to be in a state of tahara. That's number one. Number two, even if the Nasi doesn't die, are we definitely going to need the cleaver? Remember, there are many circumstances in which we're not going to end up needing a Chagigas Yudalit. If, let's say, everyone's receiving a large portion, you're not going to need the Chagigas Yudalit. So therefore, the idea of needing the cleaver in a scenario, in this really bizarre scenario where the Nasi's a goseis, and do I need the cleaver? The answer is probably not. And for probably not, we're not going to go through the trouble of toveling the cleaver. Although, again, even in this ukimta that the Gemara gave, which, again, it's obviously, it's out there in terms of an ukimta, but even in this ukimta, it's still a little bit difficult to understand. If you're anyway going to the mikvah to tovel your sukkin, is it really going to be that much more extra effort in order to tovel your cleaver as well? So it's a little bit difficult to understand how it is that this ukimta really is going to make a huge difference between a knife and a cleaver, which is clearly what we're trying to do. Anyway, when all said and done, we have no definitive proof. That ends the section of the Gemara, in which the Gemara wants to know that according to the Shita Ben Tema, where it has already been established that for most of the halachas that are unique to the Karm Pesach, it's also going to be true for the Chagigas Yedalet. The Chagigas Yedalet is really going to mimic the Karm Pesach in many different halachas. The only halacha which the Gemara leaves off with kind of like a teku, or just simply unresolved, is whether or not the halachas of Shviras Etzem is going to apply to the Chagigas Yudalad as it applies to the Karm Pesach. The Mishnah in Shkalim seems to indicate that that is in fact so, but the Gemara deflects because the Gemara says that the Mishnah in Shkalim could in fact go like the Chachamim and not like the Shita of Ben Tema. We continue. Tanya. The Gemara quotes a really interesting brisa, Yehuda ben Dur Ta'ai Pirish Hu V'Dur Ta'ai Beno. So both Yehuda ben Dur Ta'ai and together with his son Dur Ta'ai, so they were Porish. They became separatists. V'halach v'yashav lo b'dorom. Pesach was coming. They didn't want to be anywhere near the Beis Hamikdash, anywhere near Yerushalayim. They wanted to be b'derech rechoka, and therefore they went down to the south. And they were really upset. They were livid. Amar, and they said the following: Im yavo aliyav v'yomer lahem liyisrael mimnei malo chagagtem chagiga b'shabbes mahein omrim. Now, the way Rashi understands it, I'm going to say it like Rashi. That year, the 14th fell on a Shabbos, and what they were planning on doing is not bringing chagigas yidalad. They were only going to bring the carbon pesach, but not chagigas yidalad. Now, that goes in line with what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that chagigas yidalad is not going to be doche Shabbos. So the Chachamim were taking the mainstream approach. These, I guess we're going to call them Tanaim, right, for lack of better knowledge. So we'll call them a Tanaim, but despite the fact that they were Tanaim, they really took a non-mainstream approach. They went rogue. And they were of the really strong opinion that the Chagiga Yudal should be brought even on Shabbos. And they were so incensed that they refused to go to the Beis Hamikdash. They refused to go to Yerushalayim for Pesach. In fact, they went down to the south in order to avoid being in that situation where they felt that the Chagigas Yudal should be brought. And meanwhile, nobody was bringing it. And they continue. We're back in the Gemara. Tamanu shnei gedolei ador shma v'avtalion. I just wonder about the gedolei ador both shma and v'avtalion. Shein chachamim gedolim v'darshanim gedolim. Tremendous talmid chachamim. Lo amar lahem liyisrael chagiga doches haShabbos. And meanwhile, we feel that they're not advising the Jewish people well. The fourth of the zugos are not telling the people to offer the chagigas yedalid on Shabbos. We feel that that's wrong. Okay. So Amarav, my time at the Ben Dur Ta'ai. So the Gemara wants to understand what is their shita based on. Now, even though it is not the mainstream approach, it's not the opinion that clearly is endorsed by our Mishnah, but could we at least try to understand them? Dechsiv, the pasuk says, "Vazavachta pesach l'Hashem lekechet son avakar." So we look at the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. In of itself, it is a really unusual pasuk. The pasuk says that Yeshechtin karm pesach son ubakar. Now, what in the world does that pasuk mean? V'aloim pesach ala minek vasim minayizim. So, you know, Karm Pesach can only be brought either by sheep or goat. Karm Pesach cannot be coming from Bakar. How do you understand? Simple pshat in the Pasuk. Elat son ze Pesach Bakar zu chagiga. So they understand the Pasuk to mean that son is a reference to Karm Pesach. The Bakar is a reference to the Karm Chagiga. Chagiga is Yidalad. V'amar Rechmana v'zavachta Pesach. And the Torah says, and you're going to shecht it. Meaning just like Pesach is going to override Shabbos, the Chagiga is Yidalad is going to override Shabbos as well. That's the drasha that Rav is forwarding in terms of understanding these shitas of Ben Dur Ta'ai. So Amar Rav Ashi Van on time of the Purushim and Neko v'Nifrosh. So Rav Ashi says, what kind of exercise did we just engage in? In other words, we're trying to give voice to their position. Their position clearly is not an accepted position, right? We don't even have a brisa that espouses such a position. The Mishnah clearly doesn't endorse their position. And even Ben Tema, which we've been discussing for a good part of the Amud Aleph, doesn't sound like Ben Tema supports that position. Although I'll leave that as kind of an open-ended question. Meaning, according to Ben Tema, who has the hekesh between the Karm Pesach and the Chagigas Yidalad, would Ben Tema be open to such a position? So I don't know the answer, but I will leave that as an open-ended question. But Rav Ashi is bothered. It's not the mainstream approach. It's not the approach of Chachmei Yisrael and Ar Mesorah. So why are you giving a way of understanding their position? Ela kra l'chad Rav Nachman Hudasa. Now, as far as the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh is concerned, so for that we do have an explanation of that pasuk. Notably, that of Rav Nachman. Da'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Mi Nain Lamosa Pesach Shekrav Shlamim. How do I know that any leftover carbon pesach could be brought as a carbon shlamim? Meaning a halacha that we've already seen numerous times since we started this second half of Pesachim in the fifth parak. We mentioned this a number of times. You have a carbon pesach, so the carbon pesach that's not offered on the 14th day, but offered on any other day of the calendaric year, is offered as a shlamim. How do I know that? Meaning, where's the source? Shenemar v'zevachta pesach l'shem lekech etzun avakar. So we have this pasuk in Parshas Rei. V'chi pesach min abakar ba. So here we're going to start off with the same question. Karm pesach does not come from bakar. Can't come from bakar. V'aloin pesach ba elam min akvasim min aizim. Elam moser pesach. So what it's coming to teach us is that if I have a karm pesach that's not offered as a karm pesach, it is a residual. Yehei l'dvar l'davar haba min etzun min abakar. So I bring it from a category of karban, which I normally would come from either Tzon or Bakar, meaning a Shlamim. Good. So that's what the Chachamim would do with that Pasuk, that Rav attempted to use that Pasuk to explain the position Ben Tertai. V'Rabbanan my time alo dachi Shabbos. So Havada Karban Sibrahu. So now, according to the Chachamim, so why isn't it Doche Shabbos? Isn't it a carbon sibur? And as a carbon sibur, can't we argue that it's going to override the Shabbos? So Amar Rav Elai, Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Safra, Amar Krav, V'chagosem, Oso Chag L'Hashem. Now, at this point in time, it's a little bit challenging to understand the Gemara over here, because the Gemara is simply very nonchalantly describing the Chagigas Yedalad as a carbon sibur. Now, carbon sibur, earlier in the daf, we pointed out that the Chagigas Yedal is not even a chovah, it's not even an obligation. And the Gemara over here is describing it as a carbon sibur. So what seems to be pretty clear going on in the Gemara over here, and Rashi says it as well, is that what the Gemara is asking over here is not so much the Chagigas Yedal, but rather the Chagigas Tezvav. Meaning, what's going to be clear now in the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi is understanding it, is that the Gemara is making like a minor shift, where the Gemara now is moving from discussing the Chagigas Yedal to discussing now the Chagigas Tezvav. And really the question in line over here is that the Chagigas Yedal doesn't override the Shabbos, that's kind of like a given. Although again, Ben Dertai was arguing that it should override the Shabbos. But moreover, even the Chagigas Tezvav is not going to override the Shabbos. Meaning to say that if the first day of Pesach coincides with Shabbos, so you're not going to bring the Chagigah on that day, rather you're going to bring it on the second day or the third day, meaning any day of Yontav other than Shabbos. And what the Gemara wants to now know, so now we can really go back and understand the Gemara a little bit better. So when the Gemara asks for Rabbanan, my time alodachi Shabbos, what the Gemara is asking now is not so much on the Chagigas Yedalad, which is for sure not going to override Shabbos, but even the Chagigas Tezvav, even the classic Shami Chagigah. How come that doesn't override Shabbos? So Hava de Karban Sibur, and the Gemara describes it here as a Karban Sibur. And again, we're going to say the same thing that we said just a couple days ago. Karban Sibur, not in the classic sense that the carbon is being purchased from public money, but carbon sibur, meaning that the sibur brings a carbon, meaning everyone is obligated to bring such a carbon. So Amar Avelai Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Safra Amar Krav Chagosim Oso Chag L'Hashem Shivas Yamim Bashana. So we are looking now in Pesukim in Parshas Emor, where the Torah describes how you're going to be bringing Chag LaHashem, Chag over here meaning the carbon Chagiga, and you're going to be bringing it 7 days. The Gemara says 7 days, meaning any one of the 7 days of Sukkos. Now, if you think about it, Sukkos is not 7 days, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. So Shiva Shmona Hava, what do you mean 7 days? It's 8 days. So rather, the carbon chagiga is not going to be overriding the Shabbos. Ki asa Ravin, Amar Amartu lefnei Rabose Pamim Shi'ata Mose Ela Shisha. Well, you know, sometimes what you can have is the first day of Sukkot coming on a Shabbos, which means that the eighth day of Sukkot comes out on a Shabbos. And what does that mean? It means that really you only have 6 opportunities to bring. So the drasha you just quoted is 7. So under those circumstances, really shouldn't the number be 6? Kagon shechal yom tov rishon shel chag b'shabbos. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye has a really sharp answer. And admittedly, the way he describes the oven over here is definitely hard to understand in terms of giving him such a tragic nickname, Avin Tichla, Avin the one who buries his children. And it's just difficult. At this point in time, I don't have a wonderful way to explain it. But anyway, Lema ki haimilsa shmona lo mishkach la kla, Shiva isa berov shanim. But he says very simply, look, the idea that you're never going to have 8 days of Sukkot where you're going to have 8 opportunities to offer the Karban Chagigah, because one of those days has to be a Shabbos. It's unavoidable. And so therefore, it's going to happen that most of the time there'll be 7 opportunities. Yes, it's true. It could be like you're saying. There could be an opportunity where there's only going to be 6 days. But in terms of the Torah making its point, the Torah just simply has to say 7 because every single year. In the very at the very most, you're only going to have 7 days, seven opportunities to bring the chagiga. So that's how we know that the chagigas tezvav is not going to be doche Shabbos. Good. I'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Amar Ula. We have now an opportunity to review. Let's do so. The Mishnah introduces the chagigas yudalit. Chagigas yudalit is brought together with the Karban Pesach. The Mishnah doesn't say why. The Mishnah just simply says the what's. And that is only under the circumstance where the 14th comes out on a weekday and the Karban Pesach is being brought b'tahara and everyone's receiving a small portion of the Karban Pesach. Under those circumstances and only under those circumstances is one going to be bringing the Chagigas Yudalit in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. However, if it's Shabbos or if it's Tumah or if it's or if everyone's receiving large portions of the Karban Pesach, so then the Chagigas Yudalit is not brought. According to our Mishnah, the Chagigas Yudalit could be any animal in which a Shlamim could be offered. In terms of the allowance of how long you have to eat the Chagigas Yudalit, it's treated like a Shlamim. You have 2 days and the night in between. Good. Ad kan divrei HaMishnah, the Gemara notes, what is this Mishnah doing here in the sixth parak? What does it have anything to do with our, with the opening Mishnah? So the Gemara's answer is that the opening Mishnah talks about activities that are not going to override the Shabbos, and so therefore you can add this to the list, even though it's not talking about the Karban Pesach per se, but the Chagigas Yudalit is just simply not going to be overriding the Shabbos. We turn to the top of Ayin in our review. And then what is the purpose of the Chagigas Yudalit? So it's to help supplement the amount of meat that's going to be consumed. We are limited in terms of the amount of meat that's going to be consumed, especially if it's a large chabura with one Karban Pesach. And so therefore, the purpose, the point of eating the, of bringing the Chagigas Yudalit is to help supplement. And the Gemara's language just simply is, Kadeshi Pesach Nechal Ala Sova, that the Karban Pesach would be eaten on a mostly full stomach. And on that, we added 2 points, both Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that means that our Karban Pesach will be eaten bechashivas. Tosfos says it's a gzera derabanan, meaning the entire innovation of Chagigas Yudalit is there to help supplement the amount of meat that we're going to be eating so that we don't come to break the bones of the Karban Pesach. Good. Two different explanations of what the Gemara means exactly. On that, the Gemara introduced us to the Shita of Ben Tema. Ben Tema says that the Chagigas Yudalit will take on the identity of the Karban Pesach. And to make a long Gemara a little bit shorter in summary, every feature that applies to the Karban Pesach is also going to be applying to the Chagigas Yudalit according to Ben Tema. Both in terms of its consumption, it has to be roasted, you only have the night to eat it. In terms of the qualifications of the animal, it has to be male, it has to be of small livestock, it has to be within its first year. The only question that was left unresolved, which takes us now to Ayin Amud Beis, is going to be whether or not the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo applies to the Chagigas Yudalit as it does to the Karban Pesach. That the Gemara left unresolved. The Gemara tried to use a Mishnah in Shkalim to prove the point, but the Gemara, with a little bit of creativity, with a lot of creativity, said that the Mishnah Shkalim doesn't have to be going like Ben Tema. The Mishnah Shkalim could in fact be going like the Chachamim. And finally, the Gemara brought down a really interesting episode with Yehuda ben Durtai, where he, together with his son, decided to separate from Porush Min HaTzibur, separate from Klal Yisrael, so separate from Chachmei Yisrael. They were incensed that the Chagigas Yudalit on 1 year, which coincided with Shabbos, was not going to be offered, and they felt that it should be offered. And so it bothered them. It bothered them to no end. To the point where they refused to participate in Karban Pesach that year, and they put themselves in a position where they would not be obligated to bring Karban Pesach, and they really let the people have it, and they couldn't believe that Shmaya v'Avtayin, who were the current leaders at the time, were simply allowing this to occur. Within that, the Gemara tried to give a drush in terms of understanding their position, what would justify the Chagigas Yudalit going ahead and overriding the Shabbos, and quickly the Gemara says, why would you even give voice to that position? Their position is chusamachane. It really is a position that's a totally untenable position. And finally, the Gemara points out the Chagiga, and even the way Rashi understands it, even the Chagigas Tezvav is not going to override the Shabbos, not the Chagigas Yudal, not the Chagigas Tezvav are going to override the Shabbos. Why should that be? So the Gemara brings down a drasha in terms of why that should be. We'll pick it up tomorrow.